it is very interesting to see what happens to the congregation. And the fact is that many of us don't speak English as fluently as we would like, which is why so many leave. I guess I want to thank you all especially for coming this morning, because I'm almost speaking to a bit of an empty audience here. Praise the Lord for those who've gone downstairs, and they're learning the truth of God in with more translation or as children. So we're thankful for that. I guess there is one other request, and that is, again, Roy, if you could get a glass of water, I may need it before the hour is over. Thank you very much. So my question would be this. What is life all about? When you get to heaven, there's going to be awards day. And so it's only reasonable for us to ask the question, what is your award going to be like? We gave out two, to the best of my knowledge, we gave out two first prize awards to the children this morning. And that's very, very good. But it means that not everybody got a first prize award. Two did. That's marvelous. Some got second prize. Some got third prize. Some got prizes, but it wasn't in the category. What is your prize going to be like on awards day? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul says, that everyone can receive the rewards in his body according to what he's done. Every one of us must stand. Every one of us will get a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 10, 3 rather, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, thank you, Roy, that some will receive great reward and some will not receive great reward. And so the question is, what is the difference between the Christian who goes to heaven and he gets lots of reward, and the Christian who goes to heaven and he doesn't get that much reward? What is the difference? What is the difference between the one who goes to heaven and the one who doesn't go to heaven? And the one who goes to heaven is the one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who doesn't go to heaven is the one who doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might just, we're going to look in the book of John, or near the book of John. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3, 36. What is the difference between the person who goes to heaven and the person who doesn't go to heaven? Answer very simply, the person who goes to heaven believes, and the person who doesn't go to heaven, he doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Which causes you to say, all right, do I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? But the second question you will ask yourself before we're finished today is, how much do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? So turn to the book of Luke chapter 24, just back two or three pages. Luke chapter 24. You'll remember the story. The Lord Jesus Christ had died and he was buried. He rose again the third day. And on that first day that he was alive, he was walking along with a couple who were going from Jerusalem to the little town of Emmaus. And he was walking along with them, and he asked them what they were talking about. And they said, well, we had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had hoped that he was going to be our political leader. We'd hoped that he was going to lead us into God's spiritual kingdom. We'd hoped for for all manner of wonderful blessing, but he died. And our hopes are shattered. And then he spoke to them, and this is what he said, verse 25. Then said he to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or interpreted unto them all the scriptures, or from all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What was the problem with these people who were on the road to Emmaus? Their problem was they didn't believe. Were they followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. But they had a big problem. They didn't believe that as a consequence of the Lord Jesus Christ living, that he would end up having to die. And they didn't believe that he would rise again. The Old Testament prophets had said that he would. They just didn't believe it. So let's take a look at the verse again in detail. It says to them, he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What was the problem with these people? They didn't believe all that the prophets had spoken. Why might they not have believed all that the prophets had spoken? Well, they might not have read all that the prophets had spoken. And there's a lot of prophecy. I've been mentioning it several times over the last few weeks. One quarter of your Bible is from Isaiah chapter 1 to Malachi chapter 4. And all of those are the prophets. And we haven't read them all as much as we should. I haven't read them all as much as I should. Why didn't they believe? They didn't believe because they hadn't read all that the prophets had spoken. But there's something else the verse says. It says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. What do you believe with? You hear with your ears. You see with your eyes. You think with your brain. And you believe in your heart. All right? Now, is it possible to see with your eyes and hear with your ears and think with your brain and not believe with your heart? And the answer is yes. And I just heard a report the other day about one of the United States' leading politicians. She's not just a leading politician, she's probably one of the most frequently quoted politicians in the United States at the present time. This is one of her quotations. It goes like this. If the moral issue is right, the facts don't matter. Would you vote for someone who said that? If the moral issue is right, the facts don't matter. Now think about it for a minute. How do you decide whether a moral issue is right? You decide it based on the facts, don't you? How could you possibly say the moral issue is right if the facts don't matter? Answer is very simple. I personally decide what the moral issue is, and I say that moral issue is right, and therefore facts don't matter. Something very, very wrong with that. What amazes me is she's one of the most influential politicians in the United States of America in the year 2019. So what's that make you think about America? You say, oh, I think we got a problem here. And we got the same problem in Canada. All right? How do you decide what to believe? You decide it in your heart. Now, would it be possible for you and me to be slow of heart to believe? Oh, yeah. I heard it before. And I heard it before. And I didn't do anything. I'm slow of heart to believe. Did I hear? Yes. Did I see? Yes. Did I analyze the facts? Yes. Is it right that I should do? Yes. Okay, but slow of heart to believe means no action. What did the Lord Jesus Christ call these people? It's amazing, isn't it? Calls them fools. How foolish would you be to hear with your ears and see with your eyes and understand with your brain and fail to respond quickly in your heart? That would be foolish. I'd be extremely foolish. So on the basis of that and for other reasons, I thought, Harold, you've got to learn a little bit about belief. So I went to my concordance and I looked up the word believe as a verb. And it is mentioned in the book of John. I counted around 100 times. I noted another reference. Somebody said it's there 110 times. I'm not sure, but that's a lot. Does the Bible have a lot to say about believing? Yes. What does it say about people who don't believe? They're slow of heart to believe. What's the Bible say about them? Well, they're fools. So we say, all right, I guess I'd like to know, what do I do about believing? Just one other incident, or incidental, and it goes like this, that the only thing that the Lord Jesus ever rebuked his disciples for was not believing. The only thing that's important for you and me to do is believe him. That makes sense? You can imagine standing before God on Judgment Day. He looks you square in the eye, and he says, did you believe me? You say, no, God, I didn't. I didn't really believe that you were credible. He says, what? You wouldn't think of saying that. But John reminds us that if we don't believe, we've made God a liar. That's how serious it is. So I took a quick look at some of those 100 verses. And I would like to give them all to you this morning. But frankly, I haven't even studied them all. But I did study some, and I learned a few things about them. The first thing I want to do is list for you just some of the benefits of belief. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12. It goes like this. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What happens if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, this is what happens. You become a child of God. You get to be born into the family of God. Is that important? Yeah. You see, if you're not born into God's family, you don't have any rights to heaven. And if you're not born into God's family and you don't have rights to heaven, then you got a problem, because you see, you're going to have to pay for your own sins. You go to hell. And it's a place not of reward. It's a place of punishment. That'd be a terrible thing. So you say, all right, we better do something about this. Benefit of belief, number one, you get your sins forgiven. Benefit of belief, chapter 2, verse 11. It says this. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifested forth his glory. His disciples believed on him. What was the miracle? The miracle was water was turned to wine. What does that illustrate? It illustrates this, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get the blessing of God in this life. The water of this life will be turned to joy for you in this life. If you don't believe, you'll never get to go to heaven. If you do believe, then the first set of benefits you get that you will experience is that you will experience the blessings of God in this life. Is that important? Yeah. If you don't get the blessings of God in this life, you'll get the heartaches and the sorrows and the distresses in this life. You look around. Is everybody in this life happy? Have the suicide statistics been going consistently down because we are the most affluent and the most educated society that the world has ever seen? Is that what's happening? Suicide statistics going down? No. Why? Because they don't have the joy of God in this life. All they've got is the heartaches. The implication of turning from the Lord is heartache and sorrow. The wicked are like the troubled sea. They bring up mire and dirt. There's no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. So you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You get forgiveness of sins. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you get the blessings of God in this life. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you get to go to heaven. Chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That sound good? How long does it go for? Everlasting. What kind of life is it going to be? Well, frankly, you can't figure that one out at all. What we know is this, that we're told repeatedly, it is going to be everlasting joy. Now, I sit back and I say that is absolutely wonderful. Is everybody going to get exactly the same reward in heaven? No. Is everybody going to get exactly the same glory in heaven? No. Is everybody going to get exactly the same joy in heaven? No. We're all going to get everlasting joy, but we're not all going to get the same. There are rewards in heaven for those who... What do you have to do to get the greatest reward? You got to believe. So, we read the story, didn't we? We read the verse about the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. And they were called fools. Did they believe in the Lord Jesus? Yes. They just didn't believe that he was going to rise again. They believed. They were thrilled when they found out what happened. They ran back to Jerusalem. They went to the disciples. They knew them all. They went in. They said, you won't believe what happened to us. They said, you've got to believe what happened to us. They said, we saw the Lord Jesus. He spoke to us. He's alive. They were believers, but they didn't believe the way they should believe. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5 and verse 13. I want you to analyze the verse with me. I'm not sure what it says in your translation, but this is what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wrote these things so that the people would know that they had eternal life. But he wrote to the believers who believed in order that they might believe. Because you see, there's a difference between believing a little and believing a lot. There's a difference believing some things and believing all things. What is the biggest problem in the world today? People out there don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why they're not all going to heaven. What is the biggest problem in the church today? Well, we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ the way we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the biggest problem in the church today. You believe him? How much? You believe him? What? In what way? Okay. And why are we not filled with joy? Why don't we see all the blessing of God upon us? Why aren't we going to get all the fullness of reward when we get to heaven? Answer, because we don't believe the way and the amount that we should believe. All right. Just a few more verses now. I want us to look secondly. And we're running out of time. We're going fast. But we're going to go faster before we finish. What would you do in order to believe more? And the book of John. Have you got the logic now? The issue is raised at the end of the book of Luke. It is, you're fools, you're slow of heart to believe. And then you go to the book of John, and over 100 times the subject of belief is mentioned. Why? It's mentioned in order to explain to you all about belief so that you don't continue to be fools and slow of heart to believe. Marvelous the way the Bible puts itself together in that package. The end of the book of Luke, you got a problem. The book of John, here's the answer. 100 110 references to belief so that you'll understand belief. Here are some reasons from the book of John to enable you to believe more. Chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." What was the reason why they believed? They believed because they realized that what Jesus had said before he died actually happened, and he died and he rose again. And they said he must be credible because he prophesied it before he died, and then he came back. And they believed because of the fulfillment of prophecy. If you have trouble believing the Bible, start studying prophecy. Just make a list of all the prophecies in the Bible that were fulfilled. And then say, okay, all these prophecies were fulfilled, and I don't believe it. No, you'll say, all these prophecies were fulfilled. It's wonderful. I believe that. Here's another one. Verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." You want to believe in Jesus? Start looking at the miracles. You can look at all the miracles in the Bible. You analyze all the miracles in the Bible and say, "I don't believe it." No, you'll believe. Why would you not believe? Well, you just didn't pay attention to the miracles. Here's another reason. Chapter 4. And you'll remember in this story of chapter 4, the Lord spoke to the woman at the well. When she finished speaking to him, she ran back to town. She told the people. They came out and spoke to her. Verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saying of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Why did they believe? They believed because of what they heard from all the people who knew the Lord Jesus. Many of you believe in the Lord Jesus because of what someone you respect told you about the Lord Jesus. You say, well, if it worked for him, if it worked for her, if it's true in their life, maybe it'll be true in mine. And you turn to the Lord and you believe because of their testimony. Verse 42. Verse 42 says, "And said to the woman," these people said to the woman, "now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." How did they learn? How did they know? They checked it out with Jesus. They came to see Jesus. It's very interesting. When I speak to people here at the chapel, I say, "Do you believe?" They often say yes. I say, "Why?" And they say, "Well, you know, he answered my prayer. I prayed, he answered." That's a powerful encouragement to believe. When you pray, he answered. I can remember many years ago, I've mentioned it to you before, but many years ago, as I was contemplating the answer to prayer in my life, I was at the corner of Broadway and McDonald in the middle of the street. And I pondered the significance of the answer to prayer. I almost floated, I almost danced across Broadway at McDonald, and I thought to myself, "Harold, if you don't behave yourself, people are going to think you're crazy." But I was just overwhelmed with the excitement of the fact that God had answered my prayer in such a delightful, in such a fulfilling manner. All right. In chapter 10, verse 37, chapter 10, verse 37. The The Lord Jesus says, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Okay? What do we believe? Why do we believe? We believe because the Lord Jesus Christ left behind him a series of works, and the works that he did were significant enough to cause people to believe him. Look at what he did. And you look at the works of the Lord Jesus in a multitude of ways, but the answer is always the same. He does a marvelous work. I was an economics student at university. And I studied a course on the history of economic development. And I was amazed that one of the texts that I read said that there was an industrial revolution in the United Kingdom. And the author of the text said, why did the Industrial Revolution come to the United Kingdom? Why didn't it come to Central Africa or South America or all kinds of other places? And his answer was obvious and simple. He simply said, because in the United Kingdom, there were preachers like John Wesley and George Whitefield who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it completely transformed the people in the society, so that the people began to work. And when the people began to work, God began to bless. I thought, that's strange. That's the University of British Columbia teaching that. I didn't know that the University of British Columbia had enough sense to teach that. I'm not sure that they would teach it today, but that's the fact. What are the works that the Lord Jesus has done? He's done works thousands of years. He did works long before he was born. He did works when he was alive. He's been working ever since. Take a look at what he's done. You'll believe him. What are the barriers to belief? There are many reasons for belief. We haven't hit many of them at all, but at least those are there. Are there barriers to belief? And the answer is yes. One of the barriers to belief is that you just don't make up your mind very fast. That's the argument from those who are slow of heart to believe. Here are some other reasons why people don't believe. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 12. Jesus says to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? How much? Okay, if you believe the simple things, if you believe the obvious things, if you take action on the basis of the simple, you will begin to take action on the spiritual. If you can't believe the earthly, how are you going to believe the spiritual? So what do? You believe him in the earthly, and then you believe him in the spiritual. You've got to go from simple belief to more complex belief, but you'll never get to more complex belief until you prove him in the simple belief. Is that too complex for people? Well, that makes sense. Again, I go back to academic days. If you want to understand nuclear physics, you'd better learn arithmetic. Okay? You've got to start at the simple before you can get to the complex. All right. Chapter 4, verse 48. I just picked out some of these verses. Barriers to belief. Then said Jesus to them, except you see signs and miracles, you will not believe. Okay, some people say, I would believe God if he would send a bolt of lightning right now. And then they say, he didn't send the bolt of lightning, so I guess he isn't there. How foolish can you get? People say, I expect God to do a miracle for me right now, and then I'll believe. And the Lord Jesus at one point answered that by simply saying, if the miracle were to happen, you wouldn't believe, and you know you wouldn't believe. They said to him on the cross, didn't they? when he was on the cross, they said to him, you come down from the cross and we'll believe you. If he'd come down from the cross, would they have believed him? No. They wouldn't believe him when he changed the water into wine. They wouldn't believe him when he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They wouldn't believe him when he raised the dead. If he came down from the cross, would they believe him? No. If the Lord were to do you for you a few more signs and wonders, would you believe him? Probably not. That's not the big issue. The big problem is not signs and wonders, but it could be a barrier to your belief if you said, I will not believe him unless. Don't ever say that to God. Has God given us enough evidence to believe him? Sure. But for us to say, God, you do this for me or I won't believe you, he's probably going to whisper in your ear, excuse me, but I'm God and you're not. Can't tell God what to do. You can ask him. Don't ever tell God what to do. Chapter 5 and verse 38. It says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you believe not. Why didn't they believe? Because they didn't have his word abiding in them. You can only believe what you hear. Chapter 5 and verse 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. You've got to hear it and then you can believe it. But you cannot believe it if you don't hear it. And you don't hear it unless you get and take opportunity to hear it. And if you don't believe, what's the reason people don't believe? The reason they don't believe is that they will not believe. They don't choose to believe because they don't expose themselves to all the circumstances that are favorable to belief, but they resist and they allow the barriers to belief to get in the way. Chapter 5 and verse 44. And it says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Is that a good reason or is that an important reason for not believing? Yeah. Why? Why didn't they believe? Because they weren't seeking honor and glory from God. They were seeking honor from their friends. They were seeking honor from their teachers. They were seeking honor from their boss. They were seeking honor from whatever, but they weren't seeking honor from God. And you seek honor from somebody else, and it will be a blinder for you so that you cannot and will not believe. And so what does the Lord say? And Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you if you seek him. But if you don't seek him, you're not going to be able to believe him. You know enough about God to know that he's there. You know enough about God to know that he's a creator and he's the one who made you. You know enough about God to realize that he is your judge on judgment day. So why don't you seek his honor and his glory? Can we go on? Chapter 6 and verse 28. We don't have enough time to go into it. I'm going to explain it to you. In this particular section, they said, if you're God, Jesus, we want you to serve us lunch every day. We want free lunch every day and we'll believe you. And the Lord Jesus said to them, it's not about free lunch. It's about the one who's able to give free lunch. The Lord gave free lunch to the children of Israel in Moses for how long? 40 years. They said, that's what we want from you, Jesus. Jesus says, I got something better for you. I'm not going to give you free lunch. I'm going to give you me. Oh, they said, we don't want the gift. Sorry, we don't want the giver. We just want the gift. Keep on giving us gifts. We don't care about you, Jesus. We just want what you can give us. The Lord says, you don't get the blessing that way. John chapter 6 is a sad chapter. Because though he fed 5,000 with loaves and fishes, most of the people who believed on him went away. Because they said, Jesus, we don't really want you. We just want free lunch, please. All right, well, we haven't gone very far. Hopefully, I've given you a little bit of an introduction to the issue. If you want to believe more, recognize that the book of John deals with the subject of believing. 100, 110 different references in the book, 4 or 5 or 6 in every chapter dealing with believe, 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 believe. What's the biggest problem in the world today? Don't believe enough. What's the biggest problem in the church today? Don't believe enough. What's the biggest problem in your heart and life today? Don't believe enough. That's the problem. We don't believe enough. For the ones who believe more, what do they get? The ones who believe the basics about salvation, they get their sins forgiven, they get to go to heaven. Well, for the ones who believe in life, they get the fullness of joy in life. For the ones who continue to believe, they go on to eternal life, and they will get greater reward. And they'll say, when you get there, you'll say, you know, I wish I'd believed him more. I heard it with my ears. I saw it with my eyes. I analyzed it with my head. It's just that I was slow to believe it in my heart. Lord, we pray that you'll just make us believers. Lord, this is simple theory. It's just hard for us to believe and obey. And yet, Lord, we realize that it isn't just awards day for children. There's coming an awards day for us all. And Lord, we want to get fullness of reward. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting this one thing, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we would win the prize. We want to hit the mark. We want to win the prize. We pray, Lord, that you will accomplish this in our lives. Make us believers, Lord. May we not be foolish and slow of heart to believe. We ask it in Jesus' name.